With the highest number of young STEM graduates per capita in the EU, Ireland has the people and skills your company needs to succeed here. IDEA Ireland, the National Investment Development Agency, can help you find and nurture the people you need to internationalise and thrive. Our talent is just one of the extraordinary benefits Ireland has to offer. Learn more at IDEAIreland.com. Invest in extraordinary.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, February 1st. Coming up today,
the Fed prepares to deliver its first policy decision of the year.
Stocks start February coming off the best month since October.
Snap shares slide as the company forecasts its first ever quarterly revenue decline.
And President Biden and House Speaker McCarthy meet to discuss the debt limit.
Vice President Harris will attend today's funeral for Tyree Nichols. Plus, embattled Congressman Santos recuses himself from two House committees. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. LeBron James and the Lakers beat the Knicks in overtime. Two NFL teams named new coaches.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
We begin with today's highly anticipated decision from the Federal Reserve. A 25-point basis rate hike is expected. But what will the messaging sound like from Fed Chair Jay Powell? We get a preview from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
Investors generally think the central bank will raise rates a quarter percentage point now and again in March, but then stop. By November, futures markets say they'll be cutting rates. That's not a good look for Powell and company, who worry inflation isn't beaten yet, and with China reopening, could flare again. So expect the Fed's statement and Powell and his news conference to recognize the outlook has improved, but push back on any thought that means a change in policy yet. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. And join us for live coverage of that Fed decision starting at 1:30 p.m. Eastern with a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance.
Well, ahead of that decision, Nathan, as we said, stock futures are lower, and that's after a month that saw the S&P 500 gain 6%. Katerina Simonetti, Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley Private Wealth, says the Fed is not the most important thing for the markets right now.
We think that there is a lot more volatility ahead, and in our view, the story for 23 is not the story of the Fed or inflation. This is the story about the earnings, and specifically earnings revision.
Katerina Simonetti at Morgan Stanley Wealth views last month's stock rally as premature optimism.
Well, earnings are disappointing this morning, Karen. Snap has forecast its first ever quarterly revenue decline. And we get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The company cites a flurry of changes to Snapchat's advertising products that may be disruptive to the social media app's business. Snap is making changes focused on its direct response business, ads that prompt users to take an immediate action like buying a product or signing up for an email list. Snap, along with competitors like Meta Platforms Facebook and Alphabet's Google, are also still grappling with a change to iPhone privacy policies from Apple that made it more more difficult to personalize and track the success of ads on their apps. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Snap shares down more than 14% in early trading. And there's some other stocks on the move this morning, including Advanced Micro Devices, up more than 3%. The chipmaker gave a better than feared sales forecast for the first quarter. And shares of Electronic Arts down more than 10%. The video game maker gave a disappointing outlook thanks to a six-week delay releasing a highly anticipated Star Wars game.
And the earnings continue to roll in today, Karen, with more than two dozen companies in the S&P 500 reporting. Meta Platform headlines today's list. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
Well, the big focus for investors today, not so much plans for and costs related to its ambitious metaverse initiative, but on advertising revenue on Facebook and Instagram. Analysts predict a sales decline of 6%. That would be the third decrease in as many quarters. Look for earnings per share of $2.26, revenues of $31.65 billion. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thanks. So the fallout continues from last month's malfunction at the New York Stock Exchange. Investors are trying to recoup their losses, but it might not be easy. Let's get the details live with Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Losses from that Wall Street snafu could amount to millions of dollars, with thousands of claims piling up. The stock exchange sets aside $500,000 each month to cover unexpected disruptions. People familiar with the matter say the claims will likely exceed that amount. Under NYSE rules, yesterday was the deadline to evaluate the claims and decide how much to pay. The exchange blames human error for the malfunction that canceled thousands of transactions affecting hundreds of securities. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Steve. In India today, the sell-off in Adani stock continues as Adani Enterprises plunges by 30%. All 10 of the stocks tied to billionaire Gautam Adani are slumping today. The sell-off has now reached more than $80 billion across the group's equities. That's after short seller Hindenburg issued a report accusing Adani of inflating revenue.
Well, back here in the U.S., Nathan, politics in focus. President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy are set to meet at the White House to discuss raising the debt limit. We get a preview from Amy Morris in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
A White House memo says the president will pose two questions to McCarthy, including, quote, will the speaker commit to the bedrock principle that the United States will never default on its financial obligations? The president will also ask, when will House Republicans release their budget, with details on what budget cuts the GOP wants in exchange for raising the debt ceiling. McCarthy dismissed the memo as political games. President Biden has repeatedly said he would not negotiate over raising the debt limit. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Amy. Let's turn to the 2024 presidential race now and more signs of a slow start for Donald Trump. The latest filings show the former president has raised less than $10 million since he announced his third presidential run in November.
Well, at the same time, Nathan, the Republican presidential field is about to get bigger. A source tells Bloomberg News that former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley plans to announce she's running for president 2 weeks from today. Haley served as former President Trump's ambassador to the United Nations. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It is 26 degrees in Central Park. These early morning flurries will give way to sunshine today and a high in the upper 30s. We get down to the upper 20s tonight under a partly cloudy sky. Time now to take a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Vice President Harris plans to speak at Tyree Nichols' funeral today in Memphis. Nichols died 3 days after he was beaten by police. Also attending today's funeral will be Reverend Al Sharpton.
People from around the world watch the videotape of a man unarmed, unprovoked, being beat to death by officers of the law.
Reverend Sharpton, along with Nichols' family, say the nation needs to make sure laws are changed to prevent this from happening again. The House is set to vote as early as today on a resolution to remove Democrat Ilhan Omar from the Foreign Affairs Committee. Speaker Kevin McCarthy has persuaded at least two Republican holdouts to support the move. The rules panel advanced to the House floor resolution, saying that the accusations that Omar, who is Muslim, had used anti-Semitic tropes in past comments, for which she has since apologized. Embattled New York Congressman George Santos said that he will temporarily step away from his House committee assignments. The Long Island Republican says that he is facing investigations over his personal and campaign finances, as well as calls for his resignation. Speaking to reporters, Santos said he will be cleared.
I'm confident I'll be cleared because I have nothing to hide.
Santos was assigned to the Committee on Small Business and the Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. Travel conditions remain a mess today because of a monster storm stretching from Texas to West Virginia. It is expected to dump more snow, ice, and rain. Texas Governor Greg Abbott defending the state's grid.
Local outages are not a reason to say that there is a problem with the power grid. The power grid is functioning just fine as we speak.
Air travel also is impacted, with hundreds of flights nationwide canceled today. Yesterday, more than 1,900 were canceled. The Biden administration will supply Ukraine with longer-range artillery and ammunition as part of a new $2 billion package of military assistance. That's according to a person familiar with the matter. Ukraine's biggest allies have so far said, though, they won't send fighter jets to Kyiv. Global news, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in over 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. LeBron James says he loves playing at the Garden. Hadn't done it in 3 years. Injured 2 years ago when the Lakers came to town. Suspended last year. He also didn't play Monday night in Brooklyn due to a sore foot, but he played last night. He played 43 minutes, scored 28 points with 11 rebounds and 10 assists, led the Lakers to a 129-123 overtime win over the Knicks. Much has been made of LeBron about to break Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's career scoring record. It's going to happen soon. He only needs 89 more points. But last night, James moved past Mark Jackson and Steve Nash and into fourth all-time in assists.
It's amazing because that's just, you know, what I love to do and get my guys involved and, you know, trying to put the ball on time and on target with my guys throughout the course of my career. And, you know, with another great group that allows me to see the space and see the floor, and I'm able to get it to them and try to get it to them, you know, with the right type of pass.
The Nets play tonight in Boston. College hoops, big win for much improved Fordham. Rams now 18-4 at Rose Hill. They knocked off St. Louis, who came in atop the Atlantic 10. Two NFL teams have new coaches. Sean Payton spoke with several teams. He's going to Denver. Payton was still under contract with the Saints, so the Broncos had to ship three draft picks to New Orleans as compensation. First round pick this year, second and third rounders next year. Also, Houston, in a move that was expected, named D'Amico Ryans. He was a standout linebacker for the Texans. He had been coaching the 49ers defense. Texans have had now four coaches in the last 4 years. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
With the highest number of young STEM graduates per capita in the EU, Ireland has the people and skills your company needs to succeed here. IDA Ireland, the National Investment Development Agency, can help you find and nurture the people you need to internationalize and thrive. Our talent is just one of the extraordinary benefits Ireland has to offer. Learn more at idaireland.com. Invest in extraordinary.
Osage County, Oklahoma is getting a lot of attention right now. It's the setting of Martin Scorsese's latest film, Killers of the Flower Moon. The movie is based on a book about the 1920s Osage murders, when white men poured into Osage County and killed Osage people for their oil wealth. I'm Rachel Adams Heard, the host of In Trust, a podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartMedia. For over a year, I was reporting a different story about other ways white people got Osage land and wealth, and how a prominent ranching family in Osage County became one of the biggest landowners here. Their ranching empire was built on land that at the turn of the century was all owned by the Osage Nation. So how'd they get it? Listen to the award-winning podcast, In Trust, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from coast to coast, from New York to San Francisco, Boston to Washington, D.C., nationwide on SiriusXM, the Bloomberg Business app, and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager at the start of what is likely to be a pivotal day in the nation's capital, not just because of the private policy decision coming up this afternoon from the Federal Reserve, but we're also waiting for the kickoff of debt talks between President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, all aimed at trying to head off a market crippling default that could come as soon as this summer if something isn't done about the debt ceiling. For more on this, we're pleased to be joined by John Raines, Director of Market Intelligence at S&P Global. John, it's great to speak with you this morning ahead of this meeting this afternoon between these two leaders who really haven't had a whole lot of interaction up to this point. How much should we expect to come out of this meeting?
Quick answer, not much. I think that they're coming at it from two different vantage points, and I think both sides understand the contours of this debate. This is really more atmospheric. It's a good time for them to go ahead and have a discussion, to actually meet. As she said, they haven't met in this position with McCarthy as speaker before. So this is a good opportunity for that. But aside from that, I don't expect much out of this meeting.
A lot of barbs have been traded ahead of it. We heard President Biden yesterday sort of challenging Speaker McCarthy, show me your budget and I'll show you mine. I mean, how does that sort of set the tone for what's going to be coming this afternoon?
I mean, I think we're going to see quite a bit of this, not only in today's meeting, but I think you're going to be seeing this over the next few months. I mean, the Democrats are in a strong position here in that they know that the Republicans have to coalesce around a budget, and that's going to be very difficult for them, considering the cuts that will have to be made to balance the budget within 10 years, which is what a lot of their caucus wants. How do you do that in discretionary spending alone? It's not going to be easy to do, and that's the reason why the Democrats are doing this, and they're putting these Republicans in these positions, because they realize every single program that they cut, that's going to cost them a political price.
Do you expect that it's going to be non-discretionary spending alone? I mean, we heard Speaker McCarthy, of course, say that he thinks that Social Security and Medicare should be off the table, but we've heard from a number of Republicans who are saying that things like defense should be on the table. Is that something that could really happen, cuts to defense?
I think there's a decent chance. I mean, obviously, if you're going to make substantial cuts to the budget, I think defense probably has to get on the table, just like you saw in 2011. I just don't see how you could get there through social spending alone. I mean, there's that one estimate out there to say to make these type of cuts to balance the budget, you'd have to cut 85% of social spending. That's just not going to happen. There's just not that much waste in the government. So if that's not a viable option, then I think defense comes into question. And potentially, I don't think that you're going to see mandatory spending on Medicare or Social Security come into the fray here. But in the future, of course, both of those programs are going to have to be on the table as well.
And of course, President Biden, you would imagine, would be looking for tax increases as part of any effort to sort of bring spending into balance. I mean, given how divided Congress is and all of Washington is, really, I mean, what's the likelihood that we could see something like that?
I think it's pretty unlikely. It's very difficult for me to envision a scenario where the Republicans can sign up for tax increases. It's very difficult. They talked a little bit about a sales tax. That's gone nowhere. I mean, of course, Biden in the past has talked about raising corporate taxes. Again, it's just hard for me to see the Republicans signing up to that. Obviously, especially with the new majority that they just achieved in the House, just a difficult pill for them to swallow.
Well, what about the difficulty that Speaker McCarthy could face bringing his Republican coalition together on anything related to getting spending under control? I mean, he's got a really fractious caucus he's got to bring together and not much of a majority to get anything done, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem here, is that he really only has four votes to play with, doesn't he? So even in the event that he goes and says, listen, we weren't able to get this accomplished, we definitely need to raise the debt ceiling. Of course, there's a lot of conservative Republicans out there that are going to challenge his leadership. And so therefore, does he risk his job in order to stay to principle? And that's going to be an important question that the Republicans are going to have going forward. I do think there are ways for them to kind of manage this, maybe with some type of cap on spending, maybe some slight percentage decrease in some social spending as well. But to really get to the area that they want to get to and also be able to manage the difficulties politically, as you mentioned, with mandatory spending, it's going to be very difficult to them to coalesce around the budget. And of course, that means it's going to be difficult as we get to March and April and going forward for them to actually enter into negotiations with the White House.
So about 30 seconds left here, John. Is a cap on spending enough for Republicans to agree to an increase to the debt ceiling?
You know, I think that's a $64,000 question. I do think eventually it'll have to come to something like that. I think there'll be some modest decreases here and there, some caps here and there. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we know one thing. The American people don't like tax increases, and they certainly don't like decreases in government spending.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, SiriusXM Channel 119, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher-level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.